The year was Tufshin Chavtes, 1969, and I had the schus to learn for one Elozman in the Mir Yeshiva. It was Kol Nidre at night on Yom Kippur, and to be honest, the Nusach and the davening in the Mir Yeshiva, I had been used to Tells in Cleveland and Neri Sroll in Baltimore, and the Nusach in Tells and Neri Sroll gave me more Isoruris, me personally, I was used to it, than what I found in the Mir, and I was already thinking that perhaps next morning on Yom Kippur, I wouldn't daven in the Mir Yeshiva, I would daven at the Kosel. But then, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Rav Chaim Shmulevich, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, got up to speak at Kol Nidre, and the words that he said mesmerized me, and I didn't leave the yeshiva the next day. I remained in the Mir Yeshiva till Ne'ilah. What were the words that Rav Chaim Shmulevich said at that Kol Nidre, which this year, Mir Shem, will be exactly 40 years since I heard those words? The Mir Yeshiva said, "Ich bin gewen heint by the Mama Rachel." What did Rav Chaim Shmulevich speak about on Yom Kippur Kol Nidre at night? Did he speak about tshuva? Did he speak about Torah? Did he speak about tefillah, avoda? He spoke none of the above. He spoke of "Ich bin gewen heint by the Mama Rachel." That's what he called Kever Rachel, the Mother Rachel. And "Ich bin mispal gewen," I davened for a chayal. This soldier, unfortunately, in battle, received a bullet to his brain. He was paralyzed. His mother had to come in to feed him. And Rav Chaim Shmulevich referred to the pasuk in Yirmiyah, where Yirmiyah Navi says concerning Rachel Imenu, "Kol Barama Nishma," there's a sound that's coming out of Rama. "Rachel Mevaksha, Mevaka Abonea," Rachel is crying over her children. "Mi Anoli Nachem," she refuses to be comforted. And the Navi Yirmiyah, in the name of Hashem, says to Rachel Imenu, "Meni Koylech Mibechi, Veinayich Midima," stop crying, you should not have any tears anymore, because your children will return from Golas. You're crying over your children, but they will return from Golas. So Rav Chaim Shmulevich said, the Navi Yirmiyah zogt, "Meni koylech mibechi, unich zog, mamevein, mamevein." The Navi Yirmiyah says, stop crying, Rachel. But I, Rav Chaim Shmulevich, say, when you hear such a story with this soldier, mother cry, mother cry. Recently, one of the most powerful thoughts that I have read has come from Rav Shlomo Volbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We say in Tehillim, we're going to say to Amir Tshem tomorrow, in the Shir Shal Yom Chamishi of Thursday, we say from Tehillim Pei Aleph, "Lo yiyeh b'cho el zor," which simply translated means you should not have a strange god. And last week in the Aseres Hadibris, we learned about Anoich Hashem Alikecha, and the second of the Aseres Hadibris is that you shouldn't have a strange god. And at first glance, Lo yiyeh b'cho el zor, we know that the Aseres Hadibris are divided in two parts. The first five are Bein Adam LaMakom, things that a person is responsible to Hashem. And the second part is Bein Adam L'Chaveri, things that you're responsible to your fellow Jew. So this seems to be Lo yiyeh b'cho el zor associated with the part that belongs to between man and Hashem. But Rav Shlomo Volbe says it means something else, and that meaning has to do with between man and his fellow man. Bein Adam L'Chaveri. Lo yiyeh b'cho el zor, you should not have the avodah zara. Which avodah zara? The god of estrangement. every word that we say, every action that we do can either be makarev people, it can bring people closer together, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. It could be merachek people. It can divide people. It can keep people separated from one another. Lo yiyeh b'cha el zor. You should not have the god of estrangement through speaking lashon hara, through machlokas, arguments, through sinas chinam, hatred of a fellow Jew, through motzi shemra, rechilus. All of these things serve to distance one Jew from another. So this commandment here, lo yiyeh b'cha el zor, is not just speaking about making strange gods, but don't have the god of estrangement. Don't have the god of zarus. Your life should not be one where you're always doing things or saying things that breaks you and separates you apart from your fellow Jew. Adarabba, you should do things that bring you closer together. Reb Chaim Shmulevich, his heart, on Yom Kippur at night, Kol Nidre, what's he thinking about? He's thinking about a soldier. He's thinking about a mother visiting that soldier. He's thinking about Mame Vein. Reb Chaim Shmulevich, I didn't see any other Rosh Yeshiva in that respect whose heart was so huge that it encompassed within it every member of Klal Yisrael. It didn't matter whether this Chayol was Dati, he was not Dati. Reb Chaim didn't go into that. He was a Jew who was hurt. Our heart has to go out to him. What was interesting, this story has a sequel, and that is that over 35 years later, once again, I found myself in the Mir Yeshiva, Kol Nidre at night, and once again, I have to say I wasn't so moved by the tefillah. It was a different nusach that I'm used to. But once again, the present-day Rosh Yeshiva, Nosson Tzvi Finkel, got up. And what did he speak about Kol Nidre at night? Not about tshuva, not about Torah, not about tefillah. He spoke about Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. He spoke about our relationship between man and man. And he quoted from the previous Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevich, his thought on a Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. And the story of the Gemara, which is brought down in the Sefer, which I have in front of me, of Reb Chaim Shmulevich, called Sichas Musar, the story is told that the derech of Rav Ruchami, Rav Ruchami was an Amora, and in those days, with the permission of the wives, we're all familiar with the story of Rabbi Akiva, who went away for 12 years, and then he came to the door, he heard his wife saying, I wish my husband would stay away another 12 years and learn, and from that 24 years of learning, he became the great Rabbi Akiva. So in those days, with the permission of the wives, the men would go away for extended amount of times to learn. And Rav Ruchami, his deal, by the way, his name, this Reb Chaim Shmulevich doesn't say, but his name signifies Rachmanis. He was, this Amor was certainly a person who had mercy. And he made up with his wife that every Erev Yom Kippur I'm going to come home. Keeping with Reb Chaim's idea of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Bein Adam L'Makom is the easy part. You do tshuva, you ask Hashem for forgiveness, and Yom Kippur and tshuva together, you're wiped clean of your averes, Bein Adam L'Makom. But Reb Chaim Shmulevich says you still have a problem. Because what about Bein Adam L'Chaveroi? Yom Kippur doesn't help. If you don't go over to your friend and ask for forgiveness before Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur's not going to help. So Reb Chaim Shmulevich says this Rav Ruchami made sure, with the permission of his wife, he would stay away a whole year to learn. But Erev Yom Kippur, which is the day where you have to focus on my relationship, did I hurt another person? He wanted to make sure that he didn't hurt his wife, that he would come home at least Erev Yom Kippur once a year. But one Erev Yom Kippur, he didn't come home. One Erev Yom Kippur, he got involved in learning. And by the time he realized he didn't have time, he looked at his watch or his sundial, whatever it was. He's not going to make it home on time for Yom Kippur. He can't go. His wife is waiting at the door, and the sun is going down, 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 down. And she's saying, Every minute she's saying, Hashtasi, Hashtasi. Oh, he's coming now. He must be coming. He's on. He's going to come any second. Lo yasi. He didn't come. And a tear went down her cheek. And at that moment, when a tear went down her cheek, it says Rav Ruchami was sitting on a veranda. The veranda collapsed, and he fell down, and unfortunately, he died. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz wants to understand this Gemara. And he says, how do we understand it? It would seem that you have to, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, even if you inadvertently, Rav Ruchami didn't want to cause any anguish to his wife. It was as we said, his name is even Rachmanis. He has mercy. He wants to come home Erev Yom Kippur. But by accident, he didn't. But Rav Chaim Shmulevitz wants to understand, is this a punishment? If this is a punishment, who's getting punished here? Rav Ruchami or his wife? His wife is getting, she's getting now, she hears people are telling you your husband died, he calls it, he's getting a message of Eev. Eev suffered unbelievable Yisurim his entire life. That's what this woman now is getting, a message from the suffering of Eev. She's not going to see her husband that Erev Yom Kippur. She's not going to see her husband for the rest of her life on Erev Yom Kippur. So she's the one who's getting punished. What's going on here? Well, how do we understand what's happening? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, from here I understand this Chazal, that when you cause hurt to another Jew, it's not a punishment. It's like putting your hand in fire. If a person accidentally puts their hand in fire and it gets burnt, can he say to the fire, don't burn me, it was just an accident? The fire has in it a teva. The physical nature of fire is, whether you put your hand in on purpose or whether you put it in by accident, fire will burn, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. The same is Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. If you cause somebody a pain and you didn't ask forgiveness for it, you at the time that you caused that pain, that's like playing with fire. And Chas V'Shalom, Rav Ruchami, who could have been a great tzaddik, probably was a tremendous tzaddik, but he inadvertently caused, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, caused his wife some tsar. It's not a punishment, it's a metzias. It's a physical fact that it's like playing with fire, and unfortunately, Rav Ruchami got burnt, he died. And then Rav Chaim Shmulevitz goes even a step further. This is all to teach us how careful we have to be, Bein Adam L'Chaver. By the way, I recently saw in the Hamodiyah, they brought down from Rav Steinman, Shlita, in the name of the great Chazon Ish Zitzal, who said that the purpose of every man, woman, and child to come down on this world for 70, 80, or 90 years, we hope, Ad Me'ev Esrim Shana, there's one purpose that everybody shares, and that is that you should not hurt another Jew. You should be careful, Ben Alma Chaver, not to offend another Jew. That is like our main purpose of everyone down here in this world. And I'm speaking on this subject specifically. We just went through Tisha B'Av, and we know Tisha B'Av, the second base mishnah, was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, which the Chavetz Chaim understands to mean Lashon Hara, and therefore it is certainly appropriate that we think about how we can improve our interpersonal relationships with other Jews and to make sure that we don't cause them any anguish. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz goes a step further. And he says that even if a person means l'shem shamayim, let's say you hurt another person and you have the best of intentions, it still is playing with fire. And I think we've mentioned this in other shiurim. This is the story of Chana and Pnina. Chana was the mother of Shmuel. She was the wife of Elkanah. And we find the story at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. And she had a tzora. Tzora meant Elkanah, at those times they used to marry more than one wife. And each wife was called a tzora, like a trouble. because you have more than one wife, so each one there's trouble.
So each
one is called like a tzora to the other. They're all vying for the attention of the husband. So the pasuk says, "V'chiasata tzorasa gam kas bavur harima," that she angered the tzora Pnina, angered Chana. Gamkas means she did it, the Mitzvah Stavit explains, Ratzaloma v'choseres u'macheses palmim rabbis. She didn't just agitate Chana once, she did it many times. And what was the purpose? We'll soon see how she agitated. Her purpose was bavur arima. She wanted to get Chana agitated and upset, because Chana was an akara. Chana didn't have children. And Pnina had 10 children. And she, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Bava Basra, that she was L'shem Shamayim. She meant it, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tez Zayin says, Penina L'shem Shamayim Niskavna. She meant good. Even though they're called a tzara, but she was a good tzara. She really felt bad for the fellow wife, that she didn't have children. So how did she make her angry? The Radak says she used to say to Chana, Zavanta Lebrich Rabba Sudr, did you buy for your son a Sudr? A Sudr was like a cloth that they used to put around their heads, like for a cover. Oyla Tinyana, your younger son, Chalok, did you buy him a garment? Oh, I forgot, you don't have a son. And are you going out to the camel stop? The camel is going to take your child to the cheder to learn Torah. Oh, I forgot, you don't have a child. She said these words to cause her anguish so that Chana should break down and cry to Hashem to have a child. So she meant it L'shem Shemayim. So we might think, if she meant it for the sake of, and it worked, because she got one of the greatest people that ever lived, Shmuel HaNavi. It says Shmuel is like equal to Moshe V'Aaron. He was such a great person. So, which we would think, she'd get a reward for doing this. And you know what happened? She did not get a reward. We know there's a Tfilas Chana. Chana davened. What did Chana say in her Tfilah? Ad Akara Yolda Shiva. The woman who was barren, who didn't have children, got 7 children. V'rabas bonim, the one who had a lot of children, who had 10 children, umlola, lost all 10 children. So Rashi there in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, explains that here it says that Chana, the Akora, the barren woman, had 7 children. We find elsewhere a contradiction. She only had 5 children. It says, Ki pokar Hashem es Chana, after she had Shmuel, she had another 4 children. Vatar vatela tshloisha bonim ushtei bonis. She had 3 sons and 2 daughters, which adds up to 5. So here it says that she had 7. There it says she had 5. So Rashi explains, it's not a contradiction. Why? Kishechano yoletes echa pnina koivere shnayim. When Chana gave birth to one, Pnina, every time Chana gave birth to one, a punishment for Pnina for what she did, she lost 2. V'asara banim hayala. She originally, Pnina, had 10 children. How do we know she had 10 children? Shenemar, when Chana complained to Elkanah, I don't have children, Elkanah said back to Chana, Halo anochi tov lach mi'asara banim. I have a closer relationship with you than I do with Pnina. So you should cherish, you should treasure your relationship with me. It's worth more than 10 children. Why did he mention the figure 10 children? Because he meant to say, than the 10 children that Pnina has. From here we learn that Pnina had 10 children. Now when Chana gave birth to her 4th child, if every child that Chana gives birth, Pnina loses 2, by the time Chana gave birth to her 4th child, Pnina lost 8 children. Now she was pregnant with her 5th child. Pnina has 2 children left. So Pnina, understanding that she's getting a punishment for Hashem for what she did, fell down on the floor in front of Chana and asked Chana, please Chana, daven for me that I shouldn't lose my last 2 children. And Chana davened, and she didn't lose her last two children. But since those children were only saved because of Chana's tefillah, those two children are considered as if they are Chana's children. So therefore it comes out that that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, Ad akora yolda shiva. The akora, the barren woman, Chana, now has seven children. She really has only five children, but two of Penina's last children, those two are on Chana. It's as if they're Chana's children. She has seven, and it's considered as if Penina, even though she wound up with two children, it's not even her children considered, she has nothing. Rabbi's bottom, the one who had ten children, lola, she has now nothing. So Rav Chaim Shulevit says, unbelievable. She meant it l'shem shemayim. Yes, she meant it l'shem shemayim. But she caused pain and anguish to Chana. It doesn't matter that you meant it l'shem shemayim. And we spoke on once the Vilner Gaon. The Gra says that's pshat in the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Kol amana v'yosim lo sanan. Don't cause any bad feelings with two people who are very vulnerable. And that is a widow and an orphan. Im anesana, so if you will cause anguish to a widow and to an orphan, ki im tzoik yitzak alai, if they will call out to Hashem, shemaya esh matzakosai, I will hear their cry. And what will I do, says Hashem? I will defend them. V'chora api, I will be upset, I'll be angry. V'harakti eschem b'cheriv, I will kill you who caused Amon and a Yosim agitation. V'hoyun nesheichem almonos ubneichem yisom and midah keneged midah. You caused agitation and to the Yosim and Almona. Unfortunately, you will die, and your wives will become Almonas. Your children will become Yosim. So the Vilna Gaon asks, what is the wording here? Ki im tzoik yitzak alai. It should have just said im tzoik yitzak alai. Don't pain an Amon or a Yosim. Im tzoik yitzak alai. If they will cry out to me, I will hear and I will give punishment. Says the Vilna Gaon. You know what it means. Don't cause them anguish. Ki im, if the only reason you're causing them anguish is that tzoik yitzak alai, that they should cry out to Hashem. That's what ki im. Im means if they'll call out. Kiyim means if that's the only reason that you're doing it, like who? Like Penina. The only reason Penina made Kas, made Chana angry and upset by saying disparaging remarks, was Kiyim only. She had one goal of mine. L'shem Shemayim Nischavna. Doesn't matter. How does Reb Chaim Shmulevitch understand it? Because it's Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. Ben Adam L'Chaveroi is a fire. If you cause anguish, the fire burns. It doesn't matter what your reason was, why you caused the anguish. Even the most noble reason in the world. I'm trying to go through here Reb Chaim Shulevitch, as I said, whose heart was so great to incorporate the feelings of every Jew, feeling for every Jew. His whole sefer are these kinds of thoughts. The world, Reb Chaim Shulevitch's world of Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. We want to give you a little taste of that world. Reb Chaim Shulevitch goes on. Even if it's no fault of your own, if you cause someone pain, something's going to happen. Where do we find that? It's no fault. And maybe it's even beyond your control. And this is a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, a famous Gemara. The background to this story is that Rav Kahana was a great gadol. He did something wrong, and as a punishment, they told him, really, you're supposed to get killed for what you did, whatever he did. But instead of it, we're going to have a substitute punishment. What's your punishment? You live in Bavel. You're going to travel to Eretz Yisrael, to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan, and you're going to sit in Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva, and for 7 years, you're not going to ask a single question. At the end of 7 years, it will be considered for you not to ask any question in learning with Rabbi Yochanan, that will be like death. And then you can come back, and your aveira will be forgiven. So he went to the yeshiva. And Rav Yochanan, his shir was always given over by Rav Shlokish, his brother-in-law. So he heard Rav Shlokish giving over the shir, And he started asking questions. He started giving answers. He was only not allowed to ask Rabbi Yochanan. But Rish Lakish, he was allowed to. So Rish Lakish saw, wow, this is some Talmud Chacham. So Rish Lakish went to Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, I think to the effect that you better prepare the shir well for tomorrow, because Ari Ola mi Bavel, he said, a lion has come up from Bavel, from Babylonia. Rav Kahana, I spoke to him in learning, he's brilliant. So you better prepare the shir well. So they used to have, here was the custom, Rabbi Yochanan sat on 7 pillows. The Talmidim used to sit on the floor, as it says in Pirkei Avos, having misabek ba'afar ragleim. You should gather in the dust of, they used to sit on the floor in front of the Rebbe. So such a lion's coming from Bavel, they put him up in the first row. Everything went with truth there. For example, my Rebbe, I think it was Rabbi Gershon Weishlita, said that imagine, let's say, a girl who's 15 years old, but she's on a third grade reading level. So we wouldn't put her into a third grade class. So she'd be embarrassed, you know, with little kids. But in those days, they didn't look at that. They looked, what level are you on? You're a top level, you're a young child, but you're on a high level, you go in the front. You're an older person, but you're on a low level, you go in the back. It depends exactly what your level is. So Rav Kahana is a lion, they put him right away up in row one. And Rabbi Yochanan gives a shir. The first day goes by, no question. Rabbi Yochanan is expecting him to bombard him with questions. Nothing. So you didn't ask, I'm sorry, if you didn't ask one day questions, you don't deserve to sit in the front row. You go into row two. Second day, he didn't ask questions. Again, row three. So it went 7 days. He went back all the way in the back of the class. So Rav Kahana, and only these great Amoraim were able to do this, he understood that the busha, the shame, that he was put back every day another row. In fact, Rav Yochanan at one point said, Ari Nasa Shuol, your lion, he says to Rish Lakish, what kind of lion did you send me here from Bavel? He's a fox, he's not a lion. He's not asking a word, he's quiet. So the embarrassment of being put back every day another row until he's like in the dummy, with the dummies in the back. So that is equal to 7 years of not asking questions, which is equal to as if he would have died. So he's, okay, day eight, now he's going to start asking questions. So he started, okay, he's asking questions. They put him back to the sixth row. And he kept on asking till he's back in row one. But then on the, this would be the 15th day, he's still asking questions. So what do you do now? He's in the front row. Rabbi Yochanan's sitting on 7 pillows. So they took a pillow away from Rabbi Yochanan and they gave it to Rav Kahana. He keeps asking on the 17th day again. They take another pillow for Rabbi Yochanan, give it to Rav Kahana. Until at the end of 21 days, Rav Kahana is sitting on 7 pillows, and Rabbi Yochanan is sitting on the floor. In other words, what happened? Rav Kahana became the Rosh Yeshiva, and Rabbi Yochanan now is a Talmud. Again, because they went with total truth. Rav Kahana showed he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Yochanan, he could be a big Rosh Yeshiva with a long white beard, and this could have been a younger person. Doesn't matter. He's greater in learning. He's not a Rosh Yeshiva. So Rabbi Yochanan, here's where we pick up the part that pertains to us. Rabbi Yochanan Gavra Sabahava, he was an older person. Rashi says, Gavois Einav Gedoilim Umachasim Einav. His eyebrows were very thick and they covered over his entire eyes. So what they used to do is they had like a fork. Whenever he wanted to see something, there would be someone, one of his students would come with this fork, pick up his eyebrows, and then he'd be able to see. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Dolule Einai, pick up my eyebrows, that Ve'echze, and let me see him. Because the din is, V'hoyu Einecha, Rois Esmerecha. when your eyes are supposed to see your Rebbe. In other words, because part of learning is not just listening to a CD or a tape, but part of learning is, if you see the Rebbe, so from the facial, from the expressions, that itself is part of the teaching. You have to see your Rebbe also, so he wants to see it. Chaza de parte swase. Now, Rav Kahana had either a birth defect or something, injury that happened to him, and his lips were split. In Rashi says, Nikru swasa ayide mako. Rashi says, through an injury, his lips were split, and he, Sovar, when Rabbi Yochanan had never seen him before, because till then, there was no reason to see him. Now that he's the Rebbe, I have to see my Rebbe. So, Sovar achuch kamachayich bei. He thought, the way his lips looked split, it looks like he was laughing. What, he's smirking. What does it mean? That's how did Rabbi Yochanan understand it? Because he bested me. He became the Rosh Yeshiva, and I'm the Talmud now. So he's haughty. He's laughing at me. Chalish daite. Rabbi Yochanan had chalish to sadas. He felt he had pain, anguish from what just happened. The noch nafshe. Rav Kahana died. The ending of the story is a good story because Rabbi Yochanan had the power of Tchiyas HaMesim, and he went to the kever. There was a snake around the kever, and Rabbi Yochanan said, let a Rebbe come to a Talmud. The snake didn't uncoil. Let a Chaver come to a Chaver. The snake didn't uncoil. Let a Talmud come to a Rebbe. The snake uncoiled, and Rabbi Yochanan was Mechai Mesim. When they told Rabbi Yochanan that what you saw and you thought he was laughing, that's the way his lips were split because of an injury. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I made a mistake. But meanwhile, what does Rav Kahana Shulevitz learn from this Gemara? Why did Rav Kahana die? The answer is, even though it was no fault of his own, he had a split lip. But the fact is, he caused Rav Yochanan tsar. That's Ben Adam Lechaveri, that's fire. Fire burns. He perished. So from all of these stories, Chaim Shulevitz, I think, paints a very strong picture to us that we have to be careful, ben adam l'chaveroi, even if our intentions are the best, even if it's no fault of our own, even by accident, we have to look at a ben adam l'chaveroi. If I cause someone, I have to be very sensitive to other people, because if chas v'shalom I cause them pain, it could have very bad ramifications. We don't have much time remaining. I just want to end. Perhaps we'll have another shir at a later date on the world, as I call it, the Bein Adam L'Chaveroi world of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He brings this theme through many different inyanim. But let me end off with a very powerful thought of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, which pertains to Yomim Noroim, which are coming up. We say in the Yomim Noroim, Rachameinu Kerachim Oval Banim. Have mercy on us, Hashem, like a father has mercy on his son. When we speak about the love of one Jew for another, the strongest love in the world is between a mother and a child or a father and a child. What a parent will do for a child is unbelievable. So, and Reb Chaim brings this love between father and son in a most remarkable way. He tells us, he brings a chazal. It says, "V'nosan l'cha rachamim v'rachamecha." Hashem will give you mercy, and He will have mercy over you. So, chazal say on this pasuk. Kol merachem al abrius, merachem al love min hashemayim. V'chol she'einoy merachem al abrius, ein merachem al love min hashemayim. If you want Hashem's mercy, then you have to have mercy on other people. If you don't have mercy on other people, they're not. Kol merachem al abrius. If you have mercy on other people, merachem al love min hashemayim, then Hashem will have mercy on you. Kol she'einoy merachem al abrius, ein merachem al love min hashemayim. If you don't have mercy on other people, then they will not have mercy on you from Shemayim. The Gemara brings a whole story that Rebbe got Yisurim because he didn't have mercy. Brias doesn't only mean Jews, and Brias doesn't only mean Goyim. Brias means creatures. It says that a calf was being led out to be slaughtered, and it ran to Rebbe and hid under his garment. And Rebbe said, listen, the calf understood it's being taken out to be killed. And Rebbe said, go, lekach mitzorta. That's what you were created for. You were created to be slaughtered. People should enjoy your meat. So Rebbe, the Hashem felt that Rebbe didn't have the right mercy. Yeah, that's what happens, but have some mercy. Have a tear go down your cheek. He did it too cold-blooded. He got Yisurim for many years. But the Yisurim were taken away, the Gemara says, because he had mercy. What was that story? The maid in the house was sweeping the floor, and she saw a litter of weasel babies. And as she was sweeping out the garbage, she was sweeping out the weasel babies as well with the garbage. Apparently they would have got killed as she's sweeping them out. They were just born, a litter. So Rebbe said, V'rachamav al kol masav. Hashem has mercy on all his creations. You have to have mercy. Ah, Rebbe, you have mercy? Now we have mercy on you. We take away your yisur. So if a person has mercy on other animals or people or Jews, if you have mercy, Hashem has mercy. You don't? We don't. So now, weasels are animals.
Like ants?
No, not ants. They're like, if you're in the country, you know what weasels are. Yeah, rodents. The Gemara says in Saita, Daf Yud Amid Beis, there was a son of David HaMelech called Avshalom, and Avshalom rebelled against his father. He wanted to become king. He took the wives of the Peluchim of his father. He was Moirid B'Malchus. And what happened? Avshalom got killed. Vayirgas HaMelech, the king David, when he heard that his son got killed, got agitated. Vayal al Aliyas Hashar, he went up to the top of the gate. There was like a house on top of the gate. Vayeif, he began to cry. Vekoyomer Belechle, and this is what he said as he was walking. Bini Avshalom, my son Avshalom. Bini, bini, my son, my son. I wish that I would have died instead of you, Avshalom, my son, my son. He cried out, Bini Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini, Bini. 8 times he used the word Bini on his son. So the Gemara wants to know, Hani Tamni Zimni Bini Lama. Why is he screaming out 8 times the word Bini? And the Gemara answers, there's 2 answers, we'll mention one of them. Shiva da aske meshiva madur gehenim. His son was in the 7th lowest place in Gehenim for what he had done against his father. So with each bini that David prayed, he brought his son out from one of the 7 levels of Gehenim.
David said it.
The idach, and the 8th time, the aisel alma da'asi, he brought his son up to Olam Haba. I believe I heard that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to go Erev Yom Kippur to which kever? The kever of Avshalom. And what was he mispalat at the kever of Shalom? Hashem, we rebelled against you also the whole year. We were like Avshalom. But Rachameinu, you Hashem should have mercy on us. Kirachem of Albonim. Like where? Where's the example? David and Avshalom. There was no son who rebelled against the father more than Avshalom against David. And yet, David had rachmanis for his son. I wish I would have died instead of you. With everything you did against me. And he said 8 times Bini, taking 7 out of the 7 levels of Gehenim. And then finally the 8th, he brought his son to Olam Haba. Hashem, rachameinu, you Hashem should have mercy. Kerachem of, like that's the father David, had abonim on his son Avshalom. If we want to do, I'm just going to close with this. I was at a rally in Muncie for the boys who are incarcerated in Japan for apparently not knowing that they were bringing drugs into the country. And the people are trying to do everything to get them out of Japan and that they shouldn't have to serve in prison. And one boy who was sentenced already to prison, he asked the Satmar Dayan from Belgium, who's working day and night to help these boys. He said, can I ask you something? And he said, yes. He said, can I ask you something? He said, yes, ask me, what do you want? He says, please tell everybody that it says, whoever says Amen Yehesh Me Rabba with all his might, his Gzardin, even if there was a decree in heaven, it gets torn apart. So everyone, when they say Amen Yehesh Me Rabba, they should do it B'chol Koichai. Chol Koichai means either to scream it at the top of your lungs, which for women, I don't think that's their minig. So, but the other B'chol Koichai is to do it with all your kavana, that the name of Hashem should be sanctified. If we do it with all our kavana, so we should have in mind, let it help that boy in Japan, that his sentence should be annulled and he should go free, and all the boys there should get out. That's something, if we have Rachmanis on them, Hashem, Mirchem, will have Rachmanis on us.